The Lord be with you. On this Reformation Day, our speaker is Steve Delzer, Bishop of the Southeastern Minnesota Synod of the ELCA. Let us pray. Thank you, gracious God, for the gift of this new day. Awaken me to your abiding presence. Open my eyes to your creation. Open my ears to your promises. Open my heart to the needs of others. Fill me with your spirit and guide me this day in works of kindness, justice, and mercy. I ask this in the name of Jesus, the light and life of the world. Amen.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will be seated on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the peoples one from another like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." The righteous will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothing? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer, "Just as you did it to one of the least of these members of my family, you did it to me." Then the king will say to those on his left, "You who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and all his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you gave me no clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then the unrighteous will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And the king will answer, "Just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. So sheep and goats. Sheep are some of the most productive animals that human beings have ever domesticated. Did you know that catgut comes from sheep, not cats? So all you cat lovers should be happy. Sheep are also good for food, for meat, for milk, for wool. And in fact, in some parts of the world, there are way more sheep than there are people. I remember being in New Zealand years ago and being told that there were 3 million people and 20 million sheep. And then there are the goats. Did you know that more people around the world are nourished by milk from goats than milk from cows? And also from goats come Moroccan leather, Angora, and cashmere wool, and mohair. So both goats and sheep seem like pretty useful animals. So why is Jesus so hard on the goats? Okay, it's a parable. My childhood pastor described a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So it is a story about the judgment of the righteous and the unrighteous, and that's probably a significant part of what makes us uncomfortable when we hear the words in this text. The fact is, though, of all of the expressions in the New Testament about the judgment of the righteous and the unrighteous, none is more explicit than these words of Jesus about the need for us to care for those who live on the margins of society, for those who are on the bottom of the human pile, for those whose names are on no one's cell phone contact list. So what is the real difference between the sheep and the goats? Those on the right, those on the left, the righteous, the unrighteous, the blessed, the cursed. Notice that there is no heavenly entrance exam, nor is there any requirement to profess your faith in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, nor is there any demand for all the correct beliefs. And when it comes to judgment, there is not one single word about the bad things done by those on the left. Rather, it's what they neglected to do. They ask the same question as those on the right. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't take care of you? And the king answers, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. It would seem that the only circumstance that appears to bring certain condemnation is believing that other people's struggles and problems are not my concern. Maybe sometimes we're prone to ignore the words of Jesus here in Matthew 25 and instead substitute our own sort of pull yourself up by the bootstraps theology. I was hungry and you said I should get a job. I was naked and you said I should go to the Goodwill store. I was a stranger and you said I should learn to speak better English. And then we justify all of it by quoting Jesus' words about you will always have the poor with you. But it's important to remember that when Jesus quotes those words, he's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, where the entire passage reads like this. Thus says the Lord, there will never cease to be some on the earth. I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy in your land, give liberally, and be ungrudging when you do so. So what about those on the right hand, the righteous? Notice that they were just as surprised that they had pleased the Lord as were those on the left that they had displeased the Lord. They asked the same question, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And back comes the answer, just as you did it to one of the least of these members of my family, you did it to me. Neither those on the right nor those on the left seem to have really realized that Jesus was hidden in the face of those who often are considered to be the least. Mother Teresa was once asked how it was that she could minister to people with such terrible illnesses, and she said, I just pretend that they are Jesus. Like Mother Teresa, may we be able to see the image of God in others. Like Mother Teresa, may we recognize that God often takes up residence in people who we consider to be the least. May we see in them the image of God. There was a little boy who wanted to meet God. He knew that it would be a long journey, and so for the journey, he put into his backpack a six-pack of pop and a box of Hostess Twinkies. And he set out on his journey away from home. He got about three blocks and saw this older woman sitting on a park bench just staring at the birds. So he went and sat down by her. He was kind of thirsty, so he took out a can of pop, and as he looked at the older woman, she looked hungry. So he offered her one of his Hostess Twinkies. She graciously accepted it and smiled. He was so pleased with her smile that he offered her a can of pop. Again, she graciously accepted it and smiled again. So that little boy and that older woman sat there on that park bench all afternoon eating Twinkies and drinking pop and never said a word. As evening drew near, the little boy was tired, realized he should go home, so he got up, took a few steps, turned around and came back and gave the woman a big hug. And she gave him the biggest smile of all. Well, when the little boy got home, his mother noticed the smile and said, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" And he said, "Mom, I ate Twinkies and drank pop in the park with God." And before his mother could say anything, he added, "And she has the most beautiful smile." Well, when the old woman got back to her home where she lived with her son, he noticed her smile and said, he asked, "What did you do today, Mom, that made you so happy?" And she said, "You wouldn't believe it. I ate lunch in the park with God." And before her son could say a thing, she added, "He's a lot younger than I expected." Two very different people who saw in one another the image of God. So what are the implications of all of this for us and for the church, especially as we move into the future? My hope is, my prayer is, that this commemoration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation doesn't stop with just being a look back, but that it also moves us to look forward and to see more clearly how the love of God shown in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus continues and shows how that love continues to reform and transform the world, the church, and each of us. So that like that little boy and like that older woman, we see in others the image of God. Pretend that they are Jesus. That we move outside ourselves, that we move outside the walls of our buildings and into our communities and see God hidden in the eyes of those around us. And pretend they are Jesus. And if they are hungry, give them something to satisfy that hunger. If they are thirsty, give them something to satisfy that, to quench that thirst. If they are strangers, offer a warm welcome. If they are naked, provide what is needed to cover that nakedness. If they are sick, do what we can to bring healing. If they are feeling imprisoned, do everything we can to help set them free from whatever it is that binds them. Always remembering that we are called to act with justice and to love tenderly and to serve one another and to walk humbly with God, until that day when all will be one and God will reign and we will walk with each other as sisters and brothers, united in love, seeing in one another the image of God.
And now, may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen.